Well, hello, beloveds. Welcome to the Heart Journey podcast with Dr. Barbara. I come to you as a minister, and we're looking at everything through a Christian worldview and how Jesus heals the broken heart. And I'm also a psychologist, so there's going to be some science in what I do. I just can't help myself. Today on Flashback Friday, we're going to hear from my friend Rachel Autry, and she's going to talk to us about we're going to talk about really grief and forgiving the hard things in life. Sometimes it might feel like lament or even a sense of forgiving God. And we're going to talk about her father's tragic death, my father's tragic death, and how to move on beyond the hard things. And this is tied to what we're talking about right now, related to forgiveness and letting go and resonating with the Father and moving through and making sure that we process things through lament. So enjoy this podcast with Rachel, and I'll see you afterwards. Well, we are so excited that you are in the World Women's Wholeness Summit 2021 with us. We're getting whole. Wholeness is rising. And we're talking about women at every age and stage getting whole. And we have a younger woman with us, one of my dear friends. I'm telling you, I want to be like her when I grow up.
No, seriously,
you have so much wisdom.
You're so sweet. You really do.
And like she talks and I'm like, girl, how old are you? So she has wisdom. And I'm so glad to be with her today. Please welcome Rachel Autry.
Oh, Dr. Barbara, I'm so honored to be here. This is one of my favorite places to be.
We love to encourage the people, right? It's just,
yes.
Oh, you know, do you kind of like imagine yourself doing it when you get like a fresh word? You're like, oh, I'm going to be sharing this with so-and-so or so-and-so. Yes. It's like,
and I practice in the shower. So like I'll get a fresh word and then I'm like, how am I going to communicate this? And I get in the shower and it just comes to me.
I love that. You know what? That's being faithful with
kind
your
of
talents.
Funny.
That is being faithful with your talents. Yeah, I imagine myself. Recently I gave a message and I forgot to imagine how I would end it. And at the end of the message, I'm like, Holy Spirit, how do you want me to bring this thing down? How do you want me to land this plane?
Land it.
We are going to talk about wholeness rising in her battle, rising after the tragic loss of a parent.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, we're going to go deep, but we're also going to go high.
That's right.
Before we do, Rachel, you're doing a lot out there with encouraging people and putting out content. Can you tell everyone all the wonderful things you're doing so that they get a feel for who you are and what you're doing?
Yes, I would love to. So my name is Rachel Autry, and I love encouraging women, whether it's face-to-face over coffee or whether it's with my friends online. So I've hosted an online platform on Instagram specifically for a while, just hosting conversation, charging, challenging, championing women of my age and a little bit younger. It's so much fun. So I kind of like to give them a virtual hug and then like a kick in the booty kind of thing at the same time. And it's like, I call that the appetizer. And then if you really love it and you want an entree, then we really go deep theologically, ask great questions, have amazing guests on Behind the Bliss podcast, which is a podcast that I host every Wednesday. And it's so fun. We really just pull back the veil of what life really is for people, because I think especially, you know, on Instagram, it's very much of a highlight reel. So we kind of pull that back and we're like, yes, life is amazing, but only because God's brought me through XYZ. And so I think we just need a bigger wholeness picture. And that's what I hope to bring to the table through my podcast and my platform.
I love the title of that, Beyond the Bliss. And you really have been through some difficult things for a woman of your age. And I love the way that you're using that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, okay, if I'm going through this, bring it on, God, and use it for other people to get healed, because that just is so redemptive, right?
God redeems
what we've been through. All right. Well, take us back and tell us your story, if you would.
Yeah, I think it's funny. I mean, hindsight's 2020, right? So I feel like even every time I tell my story, I'll get a new fun, like light bulb moment. So I might have one of those today with you. I grew up in what I call a VeggieTales home. So we prayed over missionaries, prayed over our meals, watched VeggieTales. I could tell you Bible stories. And I'm so grateful for it because I feel like it really did lay a foundation of faith for myself going through the trials that were about to unfold. And I love my parents for it. They are in love. And I have two younger brothers, biological. Now I have a few more, but that's later in the story. Hamilton and Landon. Landon has special needs. So he is on the autism spectrum. So I felt like growing up in the church, people would always talk about a trial. And in my mind, I was like, what kind of trial am I facing? I love to exceed and excel and be successful. I love following the rules. So I wasn't really much of a troublemaker at first. And then I have this younger brother. I was like, maybe just growing up in an interesting situation with Landon might be like my trial, my difficulty in the season. So it was funny. I was kind of praying through it. And I said, Lord, like, I want a story. Cause every time someone would get up and tell a testimony, I'd be sitting in my seat thinking, man, I just got to know Jesus at church, you know? And I'm grateful for it, but I wanted that like, whoa, story. Right. And, he gave it to me. So, when I was in second grade, which is kind of funny, and I'll give you the context now, cause it could potentially come up. My dad had kidney failure and it eventually got to a point where he needed a transplant. So we were waiting on transplant list for a while. Some crazy cool God stories happened and he ended up getting a donor and got a kidney transplant. And through that process is really where I felt like I understood the gospel. And he sat me down in a hospital room. I'll never forget when he was recovering. And he said, don't you get it? Like this, because I said something like, I want a donor. This is really cool. Like I want holes in my tummy. And he was like, well, let's talk about this. Mm-hmm. He said, you do have a donor. Except they didn't give you a kidney. They gave you their whole life. And your donor's name is Jesus. And I have Jesus is my donor too. And we have to make the choice to accept the life he gives us. Just like I had to accept the choice of receiving a kidney from somebody else to live my life to the fullest. And that was kind of my moment that I put the pieces together and Jesus was no longer a protagonist in the story. He was my savior. And so I lived my life like that for a while. Fast forward, 8 years after my dad's transplant, he passed away in a rock climbing accident, which is crazy. Even every time I say it, I'm like, are you kidding me? Because we had prepared for death the first time and we had had the conversations with counselors, like, what is life going to look like without dad? Let's start working through that. And so as a second grader, I felt like I had an idea of what life could look like without dad because I had to. And then after he passed away, actually, I was so angry because I was thinking I was not prepared, came out of nowhere. I woke up one day and went to sleep and it was a completely different life. I just was in such a like pit of despair. I was just so frustrated with God. Like, why did you just not take him the first time when we knew, when we were prepared, when we were ready? And I've gotten lots of answers to that question now and we can talk through that process. But afterwards, of course, comes grieving and I grieved in pretty unhealthy ways. Mm-hmm. With boys, alcohol, partying, that kind of thing. Just trying to, I think, to fill my void. And to be honest, I used my grief and my situation as an excuse because I knew people were expecting that of me. So I just went for it and regret a lot of it. But the Lord has brought me through so much of that pain. And I think that's where I sit today with a story that I asked for. I feel like I've learned a ton through lots of other trials that have come after it. Of course, like the death of a parent is in itself really tragic, but I think there's a lot of things that follow it that people don't know are coming afterwards, like a wave. I'm still riding the wave. But with it, I've learned, how do I make purpose out of this pain? How do I keep my dad's legacy alive and make it worth it? I'm sorry, but if my dad was going to die, let's make it a thing. Like let's put some purpose to it. I'm not just going to sit here in a corner and wallow about it. So I kind of had that moment as well through grieving where I just said, you know what? Like this is a story that a lot of people want really cool stories. And this is a cool story. And that's a really cool way to die. So I'm going to make something really neat of my dad and his story and what he left for me and the hope he instilled in me during those small moments when I was a child. And so here I am today, still living weird grief. Cause I mean, there's still days that I would love to pick up the phone and call him, but yeah. I've just learned what it looks like to say yes and be obedient and show up even when I don't feel like it. And even when I might have all the justification and reason for why I deserve a day of sadness or despair, yeah. Just that he's totally given me beauty for ashes of this whole thing.
My relationship with my dad wasn't so good. Like he was really unhealthy, but I want to thank you for sharing your story. I want to match your vulnerability with a little bit of mine and then get back to your story, if that's okay.
Of course.
Sometimes I think it's hard to put your vulnerability out there. So I like to match it. But so my dad died. We had this beautiful reconciliation the year before he died, but then he went back to Hawaii. He just could not stand being over here because of all the rejection in him. So it's like he wanted to escape. And he ended up shooting himself, but I didn't find out till a couple of days later because we were addressing my mom's cancer treatment. Anyway, when I found out, like my knees buckled down under me, I screamed, you know, and so I know that sometimes we're like, we don't want to go to those really painful moments, but I was wondering if we could go to that painful moment in your story when you found out.
Of course.
And the reason is because we want you guys watching to not feel alone, because we think you've probably had some of these moments where your whole life changes like that. Mm-hmm. And you're dealing with something you never wanted, and it feels like it came out of the blue.
Yeah.
And we want you to know that you're not alone.
That's right.
Could you take us there to that moment?
Yeah, it was such a strange day. It was one of those days, actually, looking back and having the knowledge of what I have now about that day. Mm-hmm. So funny, I woke up. I think I've been given the spiritual gift of discernment. Mm-hmm. So I have feelings about things and I'm like, oh, this was a little off. Let's avoid this. And I had an off feeling about that day. And I even told my mom, I said, today might be a weird day. I'm in a funk. And we started out normal. I had an orthodontist appointment. I was actually getting my braces off. And after we got my braces off, my mom said, where would you like to go to lunch? I could obviously eat anything I wanted now. Mm-hmm. So I chose a sandwich. And so we went to a sandwich shop. And my Young Life leader, which is a ministry I was involved in high school, came and joined us for lunch. Mm-hmm. And at lunch, we got a phone call from the man that was climbing with my dad. And he said, it was on my dad's phone, but it was this man. And he said, Bill's been in an accident. He's breathing. He's okay, but you need to get here quick. And it was to my mom. So we packed up our lunch, drove home. She packed an overnight bag, thinking she'd be at the hospital for a while. And he was climbing in Asheville, North Carolina, and we are from South Carolina. So it wasn't too terribly bad of a drive, but she had to go. She got escorted and got to the hospital. But before she arrived, she was pulled over and they called her and let her know that when she got there, he was not alive. So they asked, how would you like, wow. They asked, how would you like the body to be delivered? I was home, so I had no idea this, again, was happening, very much like you, where there's other people that knew before you, and I love this so much. This is tears of gratefulness. I've never put this together till this very moment, but I believe that the way that the message was delivered to me and my brothers to even how I received it and processed it that night was because of the people that knew before me and prayed for me in that moment. And I'm so grateful for them and for that. And the way my mom broke the news was so beautiful, and I'll get there, but I just put that together. I'm just so great. Thank you, Jesus, for people that intercede for me. So she, of course, got to the hospital and got to spend some time with my dad. And meanwhile, I'm back at the house with my Young Life leader, and I think she knows. And there's a few people in our neighborhood that know and start kind of checking in on me. And I pick up my brothers from school and they're like, where's mom? And I said, she's with dad and they'll be home tonight. And
didn't know yet, right?
No. Okay. I told them that dad had been in an accident, but I don't think they knew to what extent. He was kind of... After he had his kidney transplant, he was kind of a fun risk taker, like loved rock climbing, loved running marathons, like all the things. So it was not weird that dad was out doing something fun. So, oh wow, here comes the, yeah, the drainage. Yeah. So I was at home and my mom came home, but I heard the garage door open. And to me, garage door opening means dad's home. So the garage door opened and I had a visual in my mind just to prepare myself. Dad might be in a wheelchair. He might be, you know, paralyzed. Who knows? I just didn't know the extent. And my mom walks in and then the man that was climbing with him walked in and his wife walked in and then some neighbors walked in, our pastor walked in, and I was like, "What? Where's dad?" And she said, "Can you grab your brothers and come to the room? I just want to let you know what's going on." And for some weird reason, I hung on to the words, "What's going on?" Because I knew that that was continuous, that was active. So she brought us to the room and she told us that he was climbing and he fell and his body was just under so much stress. And they called a helicopter that helivacked him out. And he was with Mills, the man that was climbing with him in the helicopter. So he wasn't alone. But she told us that he had cardiac arrest and didn't make it to the hospital and that he was with Jesus. And in that moment, I felt so much peace, but at the same time, like, again, paralyzed, crippled, head to toe. I screamed like you. I went to the restroom and got sick. I guess I just like hadn't, because my really weird situation where we were prepared for the first time, him passing away from kidney transplant, sick in bed, and then he passes away in a rock climbing accident. I was mad, but I was also, I guess, set up to believe he was invincible. Like, he was doing all these really cool things. So, yeah. Of course, like, he wouldn't actually pass away from doing that.
You need to go get a tissue real quick.
Yeah, right?
Everyone will understand if you need to.
Oh, I'm like, I'm at my friend's house. I don't even know where she keeps her tissue. Okay, wait, I think I found one. One moment.
Okay, hold on. Yeah. Thank you for being with us in this. We know that this is touching you and in some powerful places. And, you know, when we lose,
you know, it's so funny. I feel like people might get this, but sometimes I cry and sometimes I don't shed a single tear. And sometimes it's somewhere in between. Yeah.
I remember one time after I had a miscarriage, it was my first pregnancy and I miscarried at almost three months. So it was pretty late. And, I remember one day I couldn't stop laughing. Like, grief is so weird.
Weird.
You know?
A monster.
Like, really. then I would cry. Like, it wasn't, it was like a defense mechanism. So strange.
Totally. But I mean, it is really sweet though. I want to release that freedom to people. I think that watching someone else cry, in my mind, I would watch someone else cry telling the story about how their parent passed away or sister or brother or whatever. And I would feel guilt for not crying. Mm-hmm.
No.
And that's not true. That doesn't belong here.
Right.
Because again, grief's a monster. Yeah. And I think it really also depends on just what else is going on in your life. And hello, we're women, hormones. Like, there's a lot of other factors besides, are you emotionally in touch? And I actually had someone kind of like speak that lie into me from the beginning. And I always was super aware of how I was responding emotionally to situations about my dad or others. And I just wouldn't want to release that freedom to people watching that.
Yeah.
Okay. I cried and you did it. And it's okay if you cry and I don't. That's just grief and that's okay. And God made us individuals for a really beautiful reason. So if you didn't cry with me, thanks.
And as a psychologist, I would say grief is different. Sometimes we pre-grieve. With my dad's death, it was not pre-grief. With my mom who died from cancer, I had pre-grief so that by the time she died, I had done a lot of my grieving. And I have a friend who's, my friend Real Talk Kim, you guys probably know who she is. Her dad just died of, I think it was Alzheimer's, but it was a degenerative brain disease. Wow. And we've talked about this. She was live on my show last night. She pre-grieved a lot and, you know, so grief is different and grief looks different for everyone. Some people never cry. Some people, but one of the things that can help are finding meaning in it and developing some rituals and community around it, which I know we're going to probably get to in your story. You know, one of the things for me with my dad, since it was suicide and I'm a psychologist, I felt like I wanted to yell out, scream out, it's suicide. My dad died by suicide. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't because of the stigma with suicide and also because I was a psychologist. And so that's one of the things I had to work through. Anyway, take So pick us up in your story, where we left off. So
yeah. So I after that moment, I had a really hard time sleeping, and my mom wanted me to sleep with her in her bed, in my dad's bed. And I thought that was really weird because I needed the normalcy, but I knew that she needed the comfort. So I kind of just put her comfort over mine and slept with her, and we both did not sleep. We were prescribed some medicine because it got to day three and no one had slept and we were walking zombies. But I remember the next morning waking up and like wanting to do something to honor him or remember him or do something for myself, even just to get away. And so I try to go on a run. Oh my goodness, this is so embarrassing. And I got to out of our neighborhood onto the street and started running and was just like bawling my eyes out. And this woman pulled over in her car, like, "Honey, are you okay? Do you need a ride home?" And I was like, and I think that was also the moment too, it hit me that the rest of the world is spinning at normal pace and I'm still in slow-mo. And that overwhelms me.
That is such a weird thing about grief, that everyone's going on and your life has radically changed and you're like in the, it's like the slow-mo grief container.
Yeah. It was strange. Like a simulator. It was weird. I was like, okay, I need everybody else to know that I'm grieving and work with me. He actually passed away the day before we were supposed to be returning back to school from winter vacation. So he died January 2nd, January 3rd, we were supposed to return back to school, and January 5th is my birthday. Mm-hmm. So we were trying to plan birthday, back to school. Okay, well now we got to throw in a visitation and a funeral. So how do we do that while also celebrating Rachel turning 17? You know, it just was, so many weird emotions. And I think that that also was strange for me. Because I think I was feeling so many emotions at once, I couldn't filter through them fast enough to know what was reality and what was emotions. That makes sense. Like what's truth and what's just how I feel? Because how I feel is not truth. But at the time, I just knew it all as one because it was so fuzzy.
And you were so young too.
Yeah, like, so young.
With my dad, this is really hard, but I didn't take his last call before he shot himself. Mm-hmm. I was with my mom and it was at midnight and he was having like a nervous breakdown. He was having one, but he was all the way in Hawaii. I'd taken like 7 calls that day. It was midnight. I didn't know he was going to shoot himself.
Of course. Yeah.
I'm talking about this feelings versus truth thing. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine when someone dies a tragic death, there's always like that survivor's guilt, like maybe if this, maybe if that. And, but I didn't take his last call, you know, and, but here's what I know as a psychologist, we are going to have survivor's guilt. Mm-hmm. Usually if there's a tragic death that was unanticipated, we're going to think, what if I did this? What if I did this? And what I knew was that was normal. Cause see, I was older than you, right? I was in midlife, right? So I was able to tell myself, even with my training, okay, I feel guilty. That doesn't mean I am guilty or that I could have done anything. Right. Because I was taking his like 7 calls a day for the past couple of days. I was sharing the gospel with him. I told him to go to the hospital, but he was a half a world away. So there was only so much I could do. And my mom was having cancer surgery. Anyway, so I told myself I feel guilty, but that doesn't mean I am guilty. And that helped me so much. So I do want to say that to those of you that had a tragic death, that where you feel guilty, it's normal to have survivor's guilt. It's a normal thing. It doesn't mean you are guilty or could have done anything.
Right. Yeah. I think, and it's funny looking back, I don't know if I would say I had survivor's guilt, mm-hmm. but I definitely had, I mean, maybe this is survivor's guilt, but I definitely had the, because I wanted him to go to my braces appointment with me. So I was like, what if I had pushed a little harder for him to
that
be there?
That is it. Yeah. It's the what ifs. And it's a part of grief that is that trying to bargain with that maybe if I had done this,
right,
it wouldn't have happened. And it's mm-hmm. this thought that we have more control than what we do that scares us so much.
Yes.
So that's exactly what I'm talking about. Because maybe if I took his last call, maybe if I would have flown over there rather than go to my mom's surgery, right?
Yeah. And I was playing those mind games mm-hmm. and it got to a point where the mind games were more overwhelming and exhausting than the reality was. Mm-hmm. So at some point I had to tell myself, okay, we need have conversations with real life people instead of just having it all in here. So they can help me filter through and be like, ah, or yeah, that's pretty good. That's true. Mm-hmm. And I found those people pretty quickly afterwards, honestly, because they found me. And so I'm really grateful for it. I don't think I found them on purpose. Mm-hmm. I just think that I had people in my life that were older and wiser and just saw me and knew and followed a prompt or just was obedient and stepped into my life without an invitation. And I'm so grateful for them. But they're the ones that were like, all right, okay, it's time to take a shower. Like, yeah. Okay, it's time to go back to school. Yeah. Let's help you study for a test. Unfortunately, but fortunately, like you have so much more fun life to live. So like, let's do it with understanding that it might be a little different from here on out. And so that was the one like, okay, I can do it. I really can. I mean, it's going to be different than ever I imagined, right? And there's still moments today where, I mean, shoot, I just put together the other day that like I won't be able to see my dad fill in the blank, or he won't be able to see me XYZ. And it's those moments that I think are hard and that grief comes back up again. Yeah. But it is so sweet to think about all the things I have done without him here, but with, I feel like, the comfort of knowing he would be proud, knowing mm-hmm. he would be so excited, and having my mom to help validate that too has been really helpful.
Now, it sounds like your mom maybe remarried.
She did. Yes. So there's a lot to that story that I typically leave out just because I like to honor people. And there's a lot of grieving that I had to do because of other people's mistakes and decisions. And she was married for a very brief time in between my dad and the man she's married to now. And she would say that that was a grieving moment too. And she calls it a numb decision, where she just kind of went into it because she was so desperate for comfort and yeah. she just wanted to depend on somebody else. And there was a lot through that even we had to work through because it was pretty quickly after. Yeah. But now she's married to an amazing guy named Todd, and Todd is so fun. We love him a lot. And he has two boys that him and his wife, before she passed away, so he's widowed as well, she and him adopted two little boys, and they are not related, and they look nothing like me or my other brothers. One is Latino, African-American, and one is straight up Black, and it is so much fun. We have a very rainbow family. Modern for sure. Like, we'll go out in public and everyone's like, how does this all fit together? Uh-huh. Yeah. And they're pretty young too. So my mom was an empty nester with her biological kids. And then at 10 and 12, these two boys came into her life. So she's packing lunches again. And it's Ooh. Funny to see her be a mom. I'll take them out in public, and sometimes the little one will be mistaken as my kid. I'm like, no, but he's my yeah. brother. Anyways, it's fun. And it is so cool too to see that Romans 8:28, like he is going to give and make everything good for those that are called according to his purpose. So where you think the bad story, the circumstance, whatever, the conflict has the last say, like every good plot has a conflict. That's mm-hmm. not always the ending. And in fact, it's probably the middle. And so there's a lot of really cool things that have come because of this that give me peace too, to know that I feel like I know my dad well enough. We were best pals, that if he were to see us on earth thriving, having fun, missing him a ton, of course, like I would take him back in a heartbeat. But because it's not an option, I think he would trade it. He would want us to be where we are now. And again, can't take it back. I totally would trade the wisdom I've gained from it for him every day and again. But I think that also I am who I am because I had to face discomfort. Like I faced that I didn't have a choice, and I wouldn't have chosen if you had given me a choice or an option. So I'm at this place where, again, it's really, man, this is the other cool thing too. And I can go into it, but my husband loves adventure, and he started out in this is funny. When we first got married, worked at a guest ranch and built ropes courses. So he would be rock climbing every day. And I had to face my fear and watch another person I love do something that took one of the other people away from me, and had to realize that it's actually not the adventure that I'm angry at. It's the it's death, period. Mm-hmm. And once I kind of overcame that fear, it has freed me up to champion my husband and the things that light him up and the things that he's been called to. So now he's a pilot. I'm like, of course, if I still had fear, I would freak out if he ever got into a cockpit, and now I can ride with him. And I think So it's just like, it has set me up to live the life that I've been called to live and to support the husband who I've been called to support and champion. And I wouldn't be able to do that to the degree I feel like I'm able to today healthily, unless I had dealt with it, faced it full frontal and had that kind of moment. So again, you can't change your circumstance, but you can decide what you're going to do with it for sure.
Precious Rachel, would you take us to some of the God sightings? I love how Dr. Sherry Keffer talks about God sightings. Can you talk to us about like the places where you really saw the Lord intervene and help you rise from the ashes?
Yes. I had a moment in college at the end of my crazy period.
You mean like where you rebelled?
I had someone... Yeah, we'll call it rebellion. Yes. I'm still crazy, but in a fun way.
I lived the rebellion lifestyle. It's like, it felt like the rebellion. I didn't choose it. It chose me. Like that was like the way I was raised that way. So
yes, that's funny. Okay. Yes. No, I totally rebellious. I was kind of
about like, we'll call it, the counter comforts that you were turning to.
That's it. Yes. Counter comforts. Yes. The things that I was like, oh, this will totally help my situation. Mm-hmm. False. So I was at the end of that season, was kind of coming to a place of, yeah, I'm getting really tired of this and this hasn't helped for 3 years. So probably won't help ever. And, I had someone really neat in my life. She kind of made some things to decorate my dorm. And one of the things she painted for me was the scripture that says, where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. It's from Isaiah. And I had a moment, woke up in my dorm, hungover, and I felt awful. And it was on the back of my door. And so I literally woke up and saw it first thing. And it was I just felt like the Lord totally spoke to me in that moment and was like, you are not free. Like you have the option to be free, but the only person that's keeping the shackles on yourself is you. So any point you want to give them over to me, I'm happy to take them back for you because I paid that price and like those shackles are actually mine. So I need you to give them back to me so that you can do the things I've called you to do. And it was in that moment too, that I had the revelation that the freedom that I feel like the world tells us that we have to make the choices we make, to do the things we want to do, to hang out with the people we want, is actually not freedom at all. And the only freedom we'll find is when we seek where the Lord is. The spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. So I was like, okay, Lord, like, where are you? Because I don't even know where to start. And after that, he would open up a hunger and a thirst to know his word, to hang out with people that could lead me to it, to, gosh, a husband who... at the time fought for me in prayer and was like, man, like I want to marry Rachel, but not the girl she is today. So when she becomes the girl that I'm supposed to marry, like I will make a move. And
so he knew you.
Yes. Okay. Here's another cool God sighting. So my husband and I actually dated in high school before my dad passed away. So he knows my dad. He rode bikes with my dad. Like he was friends with my dad. Yes. We have the only family picture I have. My husband, me, my mom, my dad, my brothers, my biological ones, is our prom picture from my husband's senior prom. And it is so fun. It's my favorite picture of all times. And so we broke up 3 months after we broke up, my dad passed away. So of course I wanted to run back to him. His name's Thomas. I wanted to run back to Thomas and say, I like need you. Let's date again, because I was so lonely. I was just in a lot of need for comfort and I didn't. But he knew what was going on and he gave me the space to kind of grieve and process through it. And he obviously was loving on my family and would call my mom and make sure everything was okay and call my brothers. But fast forward was going through this weird grieving thing, super rebellious. He was hearing all the things I was doing, the decisions I was making. And meanwhile, he was praying like, Lord, what the heck is wrong with Rachel? Like, fix her, wake her up, shake her. And the Lord was. And I feel like he really was preparing my heart to be, again, the champion that I am for Thomas today and his adventures and his dreams. So we kind of rekindled at the very end of the rebellious season, started the Thomas season, and it continued. And he honestly, like, really kept me accountable and called me higher and was the one that was like, I don't think you meant to make that decision, did you? And I'm like, I didn't. It was totally out of habit, or it was totally out of grief or whatever. And he was able to be like, okay, well, how about let's go do this instead? Let's go to the park with friends. Like, let's go figure out other Friday night plans kind of thing. And it was, it really was so neat to see someone who fought for me, fought for my potential, saw through the messy and still chose me. And really that was the moment that I said, I think I found a good one, because he knows the context and the history. He knows what I'm walking through. He even knows the mistakes, but yet he's still here. Okay.
Yeah.
And, so what, now we are married for 4 years. And he's able to be in those grieving moments with me and knows, like a James Taylor song will come on in Publix when we're grocery shopping. He'll look at me and I'm like, I'm okay. Or, you know, just small things will happen, or he'll even have moments where he'll cry and he's like, oh, I just miss your dad so much. Mm-hmm. And it's so sweet. We get to share that. So that's another God thing that I'm so grateful for.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick, on a side tangent. Evidence, people who are looking for a good quality spouse, what would be like your top five tips? Good. And then I want to get back to grief a little bit.
Okay. Top five tips. One, just first and foremost, going into it, know that they're not going to complete you. Yeah. That's a lie from Hollywood.
Yes, girl.
Because when you believe they complete you, you'll both be in a failing position. Totally. I wish I could tell my first year of marriage Rachel that. Mm-hmm. Second,
because yes, likely you're going to marry a dude, and dudes don't act the same way girls act, but sometimes we expect them to.
Yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm. I would also say what Thomas did, I loved, is he saw my potential. So he would ask me things that were healthy, not like, oh, when you want to have kids when we're dating, that's weird. But he would ask me things like, what kind of goals do you have? Who do you want to be? Like in 5 years, what do you have wanted to learn? Like, do you want to travel? He asked me things that really prompted me to think about my future rather than my current circumstance, which was helpful for me, especially in grieving, because I felt like all there was what I was going through. Mm-hmm. The third would be someone who, man, is so hungry to know God. Because there's even moments that in our marriage, we'll kind of get in a tiff or we'll go in a season of tension. And I'm like, okay, so like, what's your quiet time looking like, you know? And most likely it's because we've forgotten to invite God into the situation, or we've forgotten to turn to prayer. And it could be so much easier if we had just considered that in the first place. Yeah. And so I'd say someone who's hungry for God, and it's also really fun to learn about God's characteristic with somebody else that you love. I'd also say someone who like can respect you, and that sounds so cheesy, but truly like can hear you and know you and want to know you. Mm-hmm. even after all the things. So I can say something and Thomas thinks, and I can tell on his face, he's thinking, oh my goodness, this is nuts. But he still is like, okay, like tell me more about that. Where did you get that idea? Who told you that? You know, and it helps me rather than someone that kind of dismisses it. Mm-hmm. So he leads me to truth. And then fifth would be honestly someone you can have fun with, because we are each other's best friend too. And that helps when marriage isn't fun. We can at least tap out for a quick second and just be best friends and then be like, okay, let's talk about marriage. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of fun together, which makes saying yes to God's calling awesome, because we know that anything we do or anywhere we go, we could live in a trailer, because we have. Mm-hmm. We would make it fun, you know?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So good. I mean, yes and amen to all that. Thank you. I think that's really going to help a lot of people.
Yeah.
Okay. Can we turn back to grief for a minute?
Yes.
I want to kind of link this together with your marriage. But first, let me say that sometimes when Tim does certain things, I feel some abandonment that has nothing to do with mm-hmm. him because of my earlier experiences. And I have to acknowledge that and work through that myself. Yep. And I know that Thomas is military, which means some deployment or training, mm-hmm. going away for training. And I was wondering if you ever have to work through touches of abandonment, because death feels like abandonment, even though we have, mm-hmm. you know, it's not a choice. Yeah. When Thomas goes away, that you have to work through yourself.
It's a great question. Mm-hmm. He recently left me for 2 months for training. Mm-hmm. And I think that was really hard too, because one, that's just difficult in itself. But then two, it was also at the start of quarantining and stay at home orders and everything. So all the plans I had to go to Bible study, to go to my studio I like to work out at, like all the things I had kind of made for myself to just distract and just get through it were canceled. So I had a lot of alone time. It was a womp womp for sure. And I had a lot of alone time to think and process and pray. And sometimes I ruminated and thought too much about things. And those were the places I would find the abandonment of, I'm all alone. What the heck am I doing? Why did I sign up for this? And it spiraled. And again, it got to the bottom of the spiral where I had a hard time deciphering between, I think I feel lonely. I don't think actually that this is a bad idea for our career, you know, but I couldn't, part seemed synonymous at the time. I was like, I am lonely. Therefore, Thomas is making a bad decision about his vocation, and that's not true.
Right.
And so that was hard. But one of the things that I cling to in every situation, had to do it yesterday because we moved onto a military base. And let's just say it's very different than our neighborhood in Birmingham, Alabama. I had a cling to the truth that if I'm not uncomfortable, then there's no need for a comforter. If I'm always comfortable, if I get everything I want, then like, what the heck is the point of Jesus? So it's in those moments that I'm like, thank you, Lord, for bringing me to my knees reluctantly, but thank you, because I'm able to see that it's not Thomas's career that's going to make me happy. It's not even our marriage that's going to make me feel fulfilled. It's not even my own career that's going to make me sit at the end of the day thinking, oh, I love who I am. It's only because of what Jesus did for me and the things I was able to trade because of his sacrifice. So it's in those moments I have to realize too, like, when I feel abandoned by Thomas or neglected, that word comes up a lot. I'm like, I'm just feeling a little neglect, like you're here with me physically, but you haven't asked how I've been doing recently, and I'm really not doing good. But I didn't know I wasn't doing good because no one prompted that question. I mean, it can, again, spiral. I always have to think, like, I have a comforter with a capital C who's waiting on me to call upon him. Yes. And I have that access. So why am I not accessing it? You know, and it helps a lot for me.
So good. So good. Well, would you be, your story is wonderful. Thank you for sharing it with us.
Of course.
And I was wondering if you'd be willing to pray for anyone that feels the abandonment through death, or even sometimes divorce widows, you know, like this death by leaving me by death, leaving me by choice, this grief, you know, and would you pray for us? And
yes. I'll agree. I would love to.
And then afterwards, I want you to tell us where we can find out more again, where we can find your podcast and stuff.
Okay, fun. Oh, Lord, thank you so much for first just the opportunity to be able to declare who you are in the midst of tragedy and that you have the final say. I'm just so grateful that you have declared all things new when we turn to you. So I just pray for the Spirit of the Lord that our friends here watching would find freedom there first and foremost, and that then you would give them outlets and people and networks and relationships to lean on, to be lifted up by and encouraged by. And I pray specifically for the people that are feeling abandoned or left behind, that you would give them a sense of purpose, a peace that surpasses all understanding, that you would put them on mission, that their feet would be on fire, and they would have to keep moving, that they wouldn't be able to stop too long because you have something you've called them to, and they're so excited to get there to that destination. And Lord, I pray for that mission to be put in their heart through dreams, through people, through conversation, through time in the Word, that you would just open up new levels of things that they didn't know they could access because of the situations that they've been brought to. So we just say yes to everything that you have for us when we hit our knees and we say, here we are, send us, because we're so ready to do your work, regardless of the things that we've been brought to or walking through now. In Jesus' name I pray.
In Jesus' Amen. Name. Yes, we release that spirit of freedom in Jesus'
yes.
name.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. I was looking up that scripture, Romans 8:28. I was looking up that word all, and you know what it means in Greek?
Tell me.
All. It excuse me. It's so much. I'm choking on it.
I love it.
All things. Excuse me. Work together for the good. All
things, yes.
But we gotta forgive and let go of any bitterness that's there, and we gotta that's obey. It. But mm-hmm. when we do those things, woo, even yeah. the hard things work for good. All right, where can we find out more?
Hey, well, like I said, I'm on Instagram at rachel.autrey. It's A-W-T-R-E-Y. And then you can also find me if you're a podcast person. I would love for you to join us. If you're not a podcast person, you should totally play it on your next commute. It is Behind the Bliss podcast, and you can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere you would want to listen to something, you can find us.
Well, thank you so much for being with us, Rachel.
Thank you for having me. I'm so honored. This was so great. I needed this today. Whew.
I really have so much fun every time we're together.
It's a blast. I will come here anytime you need me.
Woo. Oh, that was a really good podcast. It was so good to be in that content again. This was what I felt led to serve up fresh for you today. And this was exclusive content from the World Women's Wholeness Summit in 2021. If you're a man, it still applies to you. So I hope you were able to enjoy it. Make sure you send this podcast and all our podcasts to people who need them, people who are hurting. We try to give you stories and teaching and really scripture, and we want to equip you in every way. We want you to feel belonging as you're being equipped. I care about your spiritual formation, and I care about your soul being well, your broken heart being healed. So make sure you're following us. Make sure you're following us where podcasts hit notifications for our podcast, follow us, the Heart Journey Podcast with Dr. Barbara, also called the Whole Life Podcast, Dr. Barbara's Whole Life Podcast. And we do this for you. We are also on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, so you can enjoy us, our content there as well. And we'd love for you to help with cost of production. If you feel led, please hit the donate button. Go to drbarbaraministries.org. And look for donate and donate to help with production. That would be wonderful. We'd love for you to become a monthly giver. All right. Well, we will see you in all the usual places. We do this to help your heart heal. Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you, beloved.